I tell you, God's been good. I know Doug mentioned it's been a trying week of some sorts. Yesterday for us was a busy day for the Atkins-Harless family. We had new T-ball starting. We had 50th wedding anniversary for my in-laws, which is a wonderful thing to reach in a time where a lot of families are splitting up. It was nice to spend an evening with my in-laws and celebrate that 50th anniversary. But in the meantime, they had an aunt to pass. We got news of that while at the dinner. Then we got another call. Sarah and I have a friend, a mutual friend, that we took her and her husband on a trip this summer with us, and her mother passed away yesterday as well. So it was a busy day for us, but you know, God is good. I serve an overcomer, and I'm thankful for that this morning. But I want to ask you a question this morning. What is hindering you from fully surrendering to Christ? What is hindering you from fully surrendering to Christ? Just quickly, maybe personal aspirations that you have in your life is keeping you from fully surrendering to Christ. I know there's some things in this life that you or I may want to do. There's things that we may want to see, places we may want to go. The problem is, to accomplish this, and by the way, personal aspirations, they apply to the saved and the unsaved. And the problem with that, when you never truly surrender all, we've let things get between us and God. Right? And because of these things, we may refuse to surrender all to Christ. We may sit here and like the idea of peace and joy and eternal life. But we have a problem today. We want to live our life right here, right now, in our way. This is not how it's intended to work. Here's a big one that a lot of people let become between them and fully surrendering. Family obligations may be your hindrance this morning from fully surrendering. So many people put their families in front of Jesus. They can't serve or honor their responsibilities to the church because their children have so much going on. They can't do kingdom work because their spouse comes before them, before God. Jesus makes it clear if we are going to be His disciple, we must put family behind, and they cannot come between us and an almighty God. You can reference Luke 14 and 26 if you want to check that out further. We're going to have a lot of scripture this morning, so we're just going to get going and going and going. Here's a big one. And I venture to say we've all fell in this trap at one time or another, or maybe you're stuck there now. Social expectations. Social expectations is a major hindrance in fully surrendering to God. There are too many people concerned with what the world would think of them if they turned their life over to Christ. There are too many Christians worried if they fully surrender to Christ, what the world's going to think of them. I tell you, I'd like to just one day experience every claimed Christian in this world to fully surrender to God the way they say they fully surrender to God and just walk around in that kind of air. What would that be like? I'd like to experience it here. I know I'm going to experience it there. Right? In this world, your family, your aspirations, and your social standing, and all your desires cannot come between you and before Christ. 1 John, verses 15, 16, 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, but love the Father, but love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not in the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I'll say it again. In this world, our family, our aspirations, our social standing, what we think others think of us. We can't let that come between us and Christ. Before I go much further, though, I'm going to slow down a little bit and lift God up in prayer just real quick. Most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you again, Lord, just for the opportunity to praise you, Lord. Just to bring your word one more time. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for this church here today. Lord, I thank you for the pastor and everyone sitting here today. Lord, I consider this church my home. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come back here today. Lord, I don't know the conditions of the hearts here today. But as I was preparing this message, just the message of surrender. Lord, if we just look to your divine promises, it would be so much easier to fully surrender to you. Lord, I ask you this morning, Lord, if there is someone here today that is holding back surrender in any area, Lord, if they surrender it here today to you. Lord, if there's someone here today that has never surrendered to your Son, Lord, I ask that you touch on their heart this morning, that you call on them this morning, and that they're obedient to you this morning, Lord, and that they come to know your Son today as a personal Lord and Savior. Lord, be with the message as I continue on and we finish up today. Lord, be with everyone sitting here today in the fellowship dinner, Lord, that we just want to lift it all up into you and that everything we do today is for you and all of it's for your glory. Lord, we ask all this in your Son's sweet, precious name, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And amen. I wonder, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at some of God's divine promises this morning. So before we look at divine promises, I got a wonderful dictionary at home. It's the 1828 Webster's. And if you've never looked at it or read through it, I highly suggest you do it. You ain't got to go purchase it. You can get it online. The internet is good for some things, and that is one. But the 1828 Webster's dictionary says that divine, some of the things it lists for divine, is pertaining to the true God, partaking of the nature of God, proceeding from God, godlike, heavenly, extraordinary. We serve an extraordinary God this morning. Above what is human. Above what is human. And then I looked up promise. What does it say about promise? It says the declaration or assurance which God has given in His Word of bestowing blessings on His people. Such assurance, resting on the perfect justice, power, benevolence, and immutable of God. Veracity of God. The other definition it had for promise, cannot fail of performance. I'm glad that our God this morning cannot fail in His performance. So let's look at some of God's characteristics of divine promise. His promise to be unfailing. 1 Kings 8:56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The divine promise of assured ability. Romans 4:21. And being fully persuaded that when he had promised, he was able also to perform. I'm thankful that God this morning is able to promise and He's able to perform. His divine promise is grounded in Christ. For all the promises of God in Him are ye, and in Him, amen. His divine promise of infinite value, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is the world through lust. 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that He had promised us, even eternal. I'm thankful for the divine promise of an everlasting life. Promises to the afflicted. Deliverance. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. His promise for divine care in sickness. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing, that will make all his bed in his sickness. His promise for comfort in presence. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. His promise of an eternal home. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm thankful He's prepared a place for me this morning. All things work for the believer's good is a wonderful promise of our God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The promise of sufficiency in grace. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. His fellowship. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Have you experienced exceeding joy while being a partaker in struggles? It's easy to let yourself fall victim of trials and tribulations. I'm thankful I've got a pastor who at work, when I stray a little bit, he doesn't even have to say a word. Right? I'm thankful for that. I know just the presence is a reminder that we can have exceeding joy. The promise of membership in the company of the redeemed. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which come out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb this morning? Final deliverance from sorrow and pain. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What a wonderful day that will be. He doesn't just have promises to the afflicted. He has promises to the believers. Bodily supplies is a wonderful promise. Trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Unlimited blessings. Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. How about answers to prayer? A wonderful promise to believers. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. removal of obstacles. Who needs a removal of an obstacle this morning? And the Lord said, if ye had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. Divine sonship. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. A believer's promise of eternal life. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The promise of spiritual fullness. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The promise of spiritual light. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should be not abide in darkness. If you're afraid of darkness, you better turn to Christ. The divine promise and power for service. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's left a work for us to do. Are you out there working today? The promise of salvation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm thankful for my salvation this morning. God is good this morning. There's divine promises to the humble. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. But the proud he knoweth. You can be proud, but he knows you. But you're afar off. I don't know about you, but I want to be close to my Savior this morning. For all these things hath mine hand made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You want to be exalted in God's eyes? Humble yourself before him. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Do you desire more grace this morning? Humble yourself before an almighty king. He has divine promises to the liberal. And I'm not talking about a political party. Psalms 41. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Honor thy Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. There's one we all stumble at just a little bit. So shall thou barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Seed and water, and receive the water from an almighty king. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall the light rise in obscurity and the darkness be as noonday. Now you talk about being full of glory and that exceeding joy. Walk out at midnight and it's obscure. There's so much light in you from God that it's not dark at all. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you. Be careful how you judge. Would you like to measure up to the measuring stick you measure others with? I'd probably come up short. Don't sit here and say you never judge somebody. If you're saying you never judge somebody for anything, don't wait till we finish. There's plenty of room. There's promises written for the obedient and the penitent. Psalms 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. I'm thankful I got a God that delights in mercy. What about you, Brother Scott? Amen. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner. One sinner. Joy in heaven that repenteth for that more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You ever walked across those 99? They don't need repentance. They already got it all. They don't need any more grace. They already got it all. I've been around them. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 3:19. Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out from the times when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Man, if you get in the presence of the Lord, it's very refreshing. It's very refreshing. There's divine promises written here to the poor. Promises for divine protection. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. His divine promise for answer to prayer. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, It says, the Lord, will hear them. The God of Israel, will not forsake them. Promise for heavenly inheritance. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? What a wonderful verse and what a wonderful way to look at life that, you know what? I don't care what I have in this world as long as I'm rich in faith. If you can't be rich in faith, I don't think you can surrender totally to God. If you can't be rich in faith, I don't think you can truly be effective in the mission field. If you're not rich in faith, how can you have hope or confidence of an eternal home? If you're not rich in faith, how can you get up out of bed in the morning and think the end is going to be good? I don't think you can. Is anybody seeking God more today? Anybody seeking to know God more? There's some divine promises for you seekers written in the Word. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if thou seek Him with all thy heart. And with all thy soul. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Man, we need a healing in our land today. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Anybody tempted today? There's promises to the tempted written in the Word. We have power to tread on evil forces. Luke 10 and 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of thine enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. There's safety in Christ's intercession for those being tempted this morning. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brothers. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The God's divine promise for provision of a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Thou hast no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You know, if we is honest with ourselves, we all deserve a just sentence in hell. Right? I'm thankful this morning that God made a way to escape that sentence of hell. The cross of Calvary and the acts of Jesus gives us a way to escape the perils of hell this morning. I'm thankful for the acts of the cross. Hebrews 2 and 18. For if that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Because he felt it, he can guide us through it. I wonder why we don't rely on God first when we go through something. I'm bad for that too. I get caught up thinking, God, you gave me a mind, you want me to think. I think he also wants me to pray first. Just throw that out there. Here's one I really like. The divine promise of final victory. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There's no greater resistance to the devil than giving your heart to Jesus Christ. If this verse don't excite you, there's something wrong. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with the Father at his throne. What a wonderful divine promise of God, that through Christ we'll overcome this world and be granted the opportunity to sit by his side. Sitting by the Father's side. That's so good. Who here considers himself a religious worker? Are you a religious worker? Do you work for Christ? There's some wonderful divine promises for religious workers found in the Word. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn away many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily, I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. You see a brother struggling? You see a sister struggling? Offer a helping hand. No, we too quick. We got to get going somewhere. There's that poor 80-year-old lady changing a tire on the side of the highway, but you know, I got a ball game to get to. Sorry about your luck. I'll pray for you as I'm going down the road. I ain't saying I've left an 80-year-old woman on the side of the road, but I've certainly driven by folks in need. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. I'm thankful the work I do for the Lord is not in vain. Why is it not in vain? Because I serve a risen Savior. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You want to be blessed in your work for the Lord? Be a doer. Like Johnny said, don't be are you sitting on the premises or you're standing on his promises. Well, to get up and do anything, you got to stand first. Right? I told Johnny there's an old-time preacher named S.M. Lockridge. I don't know if you've heard of him or if you haven't. And I was thinking about a way I wanted to kind of culminate all these things, and I kept praying about it, pondering about it. This kept coming up, and I think he said it pretty good. So I'm going to try to wrap all those promises up in these words by S.M. Lockridge. This was written by him maybe 60 to 70 years ago. And he said, the Bible says he's the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Now that's my King. I wonder, do you know Him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define His limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know Him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder, do you know Him this morning? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And He beautifies the meek. Do you know Him this morning? He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know Him? His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Do you know Him? I wish I could describe Him to you, but He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invisible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him, let alone a man try to explain Him. You can't get Him off your mind. You can't get Him off your hands. You can't outlive Him, and you can't live without Him. That's my King. Do you know Him? The Pharisees couldn't stand Him, but they found out they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him. And the grave could not hold Him. That's my King. He always has been. And He always will be. I'm talking about He had no predecessor. And He'll have no successor. There was nobody before Him. And there'll be nobody after Him. You can't impeach Him, and He's not going to resign. That's my King. I just want to say praise the Lord this morning. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. He said, Thine is the power. Not all the power I think I might hold in my life. Right, Brother Doug? All that power He gives you, it belongs to Him. Right? All that glory we try to stir up for Him. Right, Don? It belongs to Him. All those words when you go out and you preach and you witness and you talk to those, it's all for His glory. Not for ours. He says, Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. And Thine is the glory. Forever. So I want to ask you again what I asked you early. Is there something you've not surrendered to God this morning? Turn it all over to Jesus. If you've never known Him, think about it this morning. If you've never known Him, if you're tired of struggling, tired of fighting against the grain, I love when people, they come up and they go, man, I've been praying so hard that God could deliver this for me, could take me out of this bondage, can do all these things, just move them just a little bit for me. I know I'd be all right if He'd just do that. I've been praying and praying and praying. And some of the reactions you get to the question when you ask, have you asked Jesus into your heart? Because I wonder if you haven't, who exactly you're praying to. The Word tells us Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father as an intercessor for us. No man, Jesus. No Pope, Jesus. No Buddha, Jesus. No Muhammad, Jesus. So I wonder what God you're praying to today. If you've not asked God, Son, Jesus, into your heart. I ask you this morning, I'm about to close, brother, if you want to finish. If you are a child of the King this morning, I want you to take a good look at your life. I want you to search your mind, search your soul, and say, God, show me the areas of my life. And the funny thing is, He probably won't have to show you because you probably think about it from time to time anyway. Where have I not surrendered? I wonder if there's anybody here today saying, you know, there's a part of my life I've not fully surrendered to God. And I'm going to keep it hidden. I'm going to try to play that church game so nobody else sees it. So nobody else knows it. But it's a burden. It's a wall that you've built between you and God. I'm not saying you're not a child of the King. I'm just saying you're not fully surrendered. I'm there too. I got to pray that He shows me. There's certainly things that He's brought to me while studying this that I failed at. But I'm thankful that He doesn't stay angry forever. Right? So I ask you, if you do know Him, think about those things. There's no better time. There's no better place than right here today to just throw it all to God. Say, Lord, I surrender that part of my life. Maybe that secret alcohol problem I've got. I surrender it all to You. Maybe it's that sexual addiction that I've not surrendered. I surrender it all to You. Maybe it's putting other things, always finding an excuse to put others before You. I'm going to surrender that all to You. I don't know what it is, but everybody here, I'm sure, has got something they've held back just a little. Let's not hold nothing back from our Almighty God anymore.